few people out. Remember our pastor in prayer. He had his cataract removed on his left eye today. And I know Amy's got COVID. And I think Les is sick, isn't he? Yeah, she. And there's a few people other than that out tonight. But just remember those people in prayer. Remember Gene as he comes to bring the message tonight. I always love to hear Gene preach. God blessed us with a lot of people that can fill in when we need them. That's a blessing. John, if you'd lead us in prayer, please.
Remember Dan in your prayers, as has been said. He had a cataract took off. He's got dark glasses on. I hope we don't have to preach them dark glasses. But anyway, just remembering in prayer, the hardest thing about cataracts, when my dad had his took off, he had to stay in the hospital 10 days. 10 days. Now, you're out the same day within 2 hours after you have it done. But the aggravation, there's not a tremendous amount of pain, but the aggravation. And so just remember, Dan, he texted me this morning and said, "Don't forget, you're taking care of tonight." I said, "What do you mean?" I didn't upset him. I told him I knew about it and I'd be here. And so, did anybody read those two chapters I told you to read? Remember them? Isaiah 37, 2 Kings 19. Now remember what I told you about them. They're the same thing. Identical chapters. One of them has 37 verses. The other one has 38. Reason being, two verses in one of them becomes one verse. And somebody said, "Well, why would God tell them to write?" Well, you got to realize we believe in plenary verbal inspiration. That means that God breathed every word. All right. Now, Jeremiah wrote 2 Kings, and Isaiah wrote, of course, Isaiah. Isaiah wrote first. He was the prophet that everybody looked up to. And so it's very possible that Jeremiah could have quoted from Isaiah and penned it down. Now, does that diminish the authoritative part of it. Well, no. I've got 10 verses wrote down here tonight that I'm going to read you, and guess what? They're as inspired as this book I wrote them out of. Because they're identical. You follow me? You see, inspiration doesn't die. Now, the inspiration of the Word is no longer. It's written in Koine Greek in the New Testament. That language is dead. I think reason being to keep from adding to and taking away from the original text. But the King James Bible was copied out of the original text. It's been handed down. I saw the book of Isaiah on parchments when I was in Israel, and it dated back before Christ. They found it in the Qumran caves back in 1948 when they went in there and found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so I've seen the book of Isaiah. I couldn't read it because it was written in Hebrew. See? There are three languages that the Bible is written in. I'll hit those in a little bit. Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. All right? And so there's nothing wrong that two chapters are identical in the Old Testament. That does not diminish the authority of one more than the other. They're both breathed by God. Okay? So keep that in mind. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to, and I'm going to be going a lot of places tonight. I'm not going to pinpoint anything. I can't. Reason being, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I do believe we're living in the latter part of the last days. There's been 10 billion people born into this world, and 8 billion of them are living tonight. 8 billion of them are living in the world now. And COVID has taken out a few more than's being born, but it'll keep, the population will keep increasing. All right? And so there's a point where it will increase no more, and the Lord will call a stop to it. And I told you, people find out I'm a preacher, they start asking me questions. This morning, got a call from somebody, and they were talking. They said, "What do you think about what's going on in the Ukraine?" I said, "Well, looks like Russia might go in there and stir a little trouble." But I said, "You got to realize we've been in a cold war with Russia for my whole lifetime." And they said, "Yeah, but do you believe?" You know, everybody wants to know what the preacher believes. Do you believe this could be the beginning of the final war when they start gathering together and massing up? And I said, "I don't know. It's possible. I don't know." He said, "Watch and be ready in hours you think not, he's coming." He also said, "Those that are ready and waiting are those that he's coming for." And so what I'm going to tell you tonight is just going to inspire you to study more. Now, I love numbers. I always have. And the Bible is a book of numbers. God is a God of numbers. Named one of his books numbers. He's got the hairs of your head numbered. He's got your seconds on earth numbered. He knows when your appointment is. He knows when your minutes are going to run out. He knows when your seconds are going to run out. Because he knows everything. There are three attributes of God you need to remember. First of all, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's all-present. And he's omnipotent. He's all-power. He's all-knowing, he's all-power, all right, and he's ever-present. Anywhere you go, God's there. Now, in studying the Bible, I realize there are people that would say, study three read three chapters a day and you read through it in a year. That's okay. I've never done that, but one time, and I was challenged at the church I pastored, and 21 of us did it, so I did it just because I asked them to do it, and I felt like, well, if I don't do it, I'm going to look pretty silly if I don't identify with them, so I did it. But, you know, I didn't really get a lot out of it. When I was in school, in Bible doctrine, he said, read the chapter one time. Then he said, read the chapter a second time. And then he said, read each verse personally and put Christ in the middle of it. Because it's the book of Christ. It's the Word of God, but it's about Christ. The Bible says he's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So just put him in the middle of any verse you don't understand and then go on to the next one. And then you can come back to that. But right now I want you to go with me. Now you'll have to keep up with me. If you don't, just think about what I'm saying and go home and look it up for yourself. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. In Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Notice what verse 9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Now keep that in mind. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Now go over chapter 90 of the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 90 and verse 4. He said, for 1,000 years is in thy sight as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Keep that in mind. Now go to Genesis chapter 7, verses 6, 7, and 12. Genesis 7, 6, 7, and 12. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives, and into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Verse 12 says, and the rain was up on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you'll notice in the latter part, the second verse of 2 Peter chapter 3, you remember it said, one day is with the Lord. Now, verse 9 says that God is not slack concerning his promise. All right? Now, I've showed you before in the book of Genesis, when Methuselah was born, his name is, when he dies, judgment will come. Or when he dies, so will it be. Now watch this. You can run the order of it in Genesis chapter 5, and you'll find out from the day that Methuselah was born to the day that the water started the flood was 969 years. You can take a chronological Bible and prove that to the month and the day. You follow me? So, 969 years before the flood came, God said when he dies, it's no wonder that he lived longer than any man's ever lived on the earth, because God is not slack concerning his promise, but his long suffering. He suffered 969 years with creation. And when they wouldn't turn to him, the floods came and the Bible said destroyed them. Now, in chapter 3 of Peter, 2 Peter in verse 8, one day with the Lord is as a thousand years. Then he says, God is not slack. Now then, we got to determine when you say one day as a thousand years. The number 7 in the Bible is the perfect number. It's used over 800 times. The number 3 is second. Number 3 is used over 460 times. And then you got the other 10 numbers. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You've got 12 of them. And then the number 40 comes into play. But tonight I'm going to show you some things about the number 3. The number 3. Now, from the time of Adam and Eve to the time of the flood was 2,000 years. Now keep in mind, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. You see, God doesn't deal in time. We have to have time because we live in time. Our bodies are on a time cycle. Our spirit and soul will live forever. Doesn't even come into play. But our bodies are what comes into play. It's on a time cycle. So if one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, it's only been 6 days ago that the flood was upon the earth. If you believe Adam and Eve, 6,000 years old. Now what happened before then? God only knows. This earth could be billions of years old. I don't know. It could be millions, hundreds of thousands of years old. I don't know. It only says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He has no beginning or end. So we're going back to Adam and Eve. 2,000 years, the flood came. The next 2,000 years was in 4 B.C., 4,000 B.C., and what happened in the next 2,000 years? Jesus. You follow me? The first 2,000 years, the world was destroyed except for 8 people. And then the second 2,000 years, Jesus was born into the world. Now let me show you some things about him. The Bible says 3 times a voice spoke to him. It says 3 times he was tempted. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was crucified at the 3rd hour. He was raised from the dead on the 3rd day. While he was here, he raised 3 people from the dead. In the Old Testament, 3 people were raised from the dead. Elijah, H-A, was part of 2 of those, and Elijah, J-H, was a part of 1 of them. If you remember, Elijah said, asked God to give him a double portion of what he had given Elijah. Elijah was part of 8 miracles. Elisha was part of 16 miracles. He was part, twice as many deaths were raised in his life, in his frame time than it was Elijah. So he got his double portion. But notice the 3s that play out. Then he said that he arose on the 3rd day. 3 were raised in the Old Testament, 3 in the New Testament. 3 days after the Passover lamb, Israel crossed the Red Sea. 3 days after the Lamb of God was slain was the resurrection. The 3 gifts of grace, faith, hope. You've got them over here on the sign. Grace, faith, and hope. Then there were 3 sons of Noah, Shem, Ham and Japheth. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, you have the Ethiopian, that eunuch went down and went to the Lord. He was a descendant of Ham. In chapter 9, you have the Apostle Paul getting saved. Paul was of the house of Shem. He was a Jew. And then you have the house of Japheth. In chapter 10, Cornelius, who was a Gentile, he and his family got saved, and they are of the house of Japheth. So no wonder the Bible says, "For whosoever," anybody can get saved, whether they be of Shem, Ham, or Japheth. You say, "Yeah, but all about all these other races?" They're all mixed. Let God be the truth, and every man a liar. He had three sons, so everybody had to come out of those three sons, you think? And so in 8, 9, and 10 of Acts, we have it very clear. Now, the 2,000 years Jesus died on the cross. You know, some people are content in their Christian life to read John 3:16 and to say the Lord's Prayer every day. That's okay. But then there comes a point where you want to move into the meat. You want to learn more about Him. You see, because some people are capable of knowing more than other people. You agree with that? And the person who wants to study and learn, he's going to be more responsible than the person who is not capable of studying and learning. That's why you have men like D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, George Whitfield, Billy Sunday, all these big preachers that won hundreds of thousands to the Lord. They were more responsible than the person on the street who doesn't know enough about the Scriptures, who is not desirous of it. Now you say, "Yeah, but everybody ought to have the same desire." Really? Well, if you do that, you eliminate IQs. You know? You follow me? I mean, here's somebody that maybe have an IQ of 70, and here's somebody with an IQ. When I was in Bible college, we had a professor. His IQ was 148. Dr. Piccarelli. And he taught Greek. And he could read the Greek as good as you can the English. Well, I did. There was guys that took Greek and couldn't read it like he did. But he was able to do that. Now, I think everybody here tonight has the ability to study the Word of God. Now, what it takes is time. All right? And the number 3 is a good place to start. And the number 7. Because the number 7 is very important. That's where you get these frame times of 2,000 years. Notice, 2, 4, 6, and then you've got the 7th. Now watch this. The first 2,000 years, the flood happened. The second 2,000 years, Jesus came. Now we're just across the third 2,000 years. We're in the 7th year in thousands. Is that not right? We'll call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and still the thousands, all right? God's in thousands. We're in time. So we're in the last day, the perfect day, which is 7. Let me show you some things about this third day from the Old Testament first, and then we'll go to the New. Genesis 22:4 says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Now see, you and I should be more conscious of the coming of the Lord than maybe they were 100 years ago. Because we've seen everything that is recorded in Matthew and Revelation escalate. I was reading recently of how earthquakes have escalated over the years. And how these things that are happening, the tragedies of things that are happening. COVID is just a scratch of the surface. The Spanish flu in the early 1900s, around 1918, it took out thousands of people. Hundreds of thousands. You got to realize at that time, there were only 2 billion people, if that many. We've got 800 billion, you know, and now the only thing's killing you is COVID. Everything's COVID related. I'm not diminishing COVID. It's very serious. If you go out in public, where there's a lot of people, I'd wear my mask. I do. I've been vaccinated, inoculated, and if they come out the pill, like I told you Sunday, I'll take the pill because I don't want it. But the thing you've got to see is Revelation and Matthew are escalating to a point where it seems like it's getting ready to boil over. All this stuff going on in Russia and China and Ukraine, Iran, Israel, it's at a boiling point. See, they're beginning to move into these little countries and moving toward Israel. See? Because Israel is the focal point of all of them. And the reason being, people hate Jews. I don't know why. They're God's chosen people. But as a whole, people just don't like Jewish people. He said they were hated. He said you'll be despised. But then he got to talking about the church. You and I. So, are we in the third day looking afar off? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? The Bible says they that are looking for him, will he appear the second time? Then in Exodus 19:11 he says, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. You say, well, that already happened. Yeah, but as these guys have been talking, Dan and Tom, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The Old Testament's concealed. The New Testament reveals it. So could it be? Could it be that he's getting ready to come down the third day on Mount Sinai again? I don't know. Is he? Well, let's go a little farther. In Exodus 19, verses 15, 16, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Be ready against the third day. In other words, be ready for the third day to come. And then in Ezra chapter 6, verse 15, and this house of God was finished on the third day of the month. Now, why is all this so important? Why is it laid out in the Old Testament and then comes to the book of Revelation of Matthew where it begins to be revealed? It says, and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And then he said, well, let's get to that in just a second. Notice in Esther chapter 5, or chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. Now, where's the equivalent of that in the New Testament? Well, that's been the book of Revelation, chapter 20, or chapter 19, where the bride of Christ adorns herself and gets herself ready for the wedding of the marriage supper of the Lamb. So what's here is revealed in the book of Revelation when Esther put on her royal garment. We're going to be the queen in royal garment with the king, who's going to be Jesus. And then in Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Are we living in a revival right now? I think we are among God's people. But in the last days, and one of the signs is, there'll be a great falling away and you won't see many people saved. You know why? Because we have changed our laws that the government put up for us, and we've changed the word of God where nothing's wrong anymore. People can't find themselves as sinners. Because we're constantly, and I say we, but they are constantly comparing themselves with everybody else. Well, if he's good enough, I am. Oh, he goes to church. Well, if he's good enough, I am. Or even she goes to church. Well, if she's good enough, I am. And with that attitude, I've been coming here, what, 7 months? I've never seen anybody on the altar. But guess what? I constantly talk to preachers. And I say, are you seeing anybody saved? And you know what they tell me? And I'm talking churches running 300. Well, we see a child come forward every now and then. You say, are we to sit back and make excuses? No. We're like Noah. Do you understand we're living in the days of Noah? When the gospel's being preached and nobody's listening. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Do you think maybe when Methuselah got 900 years old, they might have given some attention to the boat that old Noah was building? Huh? I mean, they had to know the meaning of his name. I mean, people lived over 900 years back then, and if you got to be 900, who's going to say you wouldn't live but 911 years? When Methuselah got real sick, you'd think somebody would have been running to get right with God. But they didn't. And when Methuselah took his last breath, guess what? The first drop fell. People are not looking for Jesus to come back. See, I'm telling you this stuff tonight so you get enthused enough and excited enough to study for yourself. To study for your numbers are most important when it comes to understanding the Bible. Grab you a number and run with it. You can get a Young's Concordance. You can go online and find out where that number's at in the Bible and read it and read it and read it and associate it with the rest of the scriptures. You see, the number 3 is a harmonizing number. It keeps the word in harmony. So does the number 7. The number 3, if you look it up, it means divine perfection. You find that out in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, where he says, and they cried out, holy, 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 3 times. Divine perfection. It has to do with the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They 3 are 1. So you've got the divine aspects. It says he shall appear as the prophet, the good shepherd. He did appear as the priest and the great shepherd. He will appear as the king and the chief shepherd. 3:3:3. Now let's go a little farther. In Matthew 20:19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now the reason he was on the cross 3 days was that you had to be in the tomb 3 days to be declared officially dead. Now that was tradition. But isn't it kind of... why didn't he lay in the grave 4 days? Why didn't he lay 2 days? Well, he wouldn't have lived up to their law. Why not 5 days? That's the number of grace. 3 days. Why is that? Because I believe we're living in the very latter part of the 7th year, or the 7,000th year, if you want to put it that way, and we're living in the very early stage. When did Jesus rise from the dead? When did Mary come? Very important. She came very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. Now, if you'll just take a calculator and figure it up, you'll figure that 40 years, my mother's been dead 42 years. She's been dead about an hour and 37 minutes. On God's calendar. An hour and 37 minutes. Do you realize that on God's calendar that Jesus just shed his blood 2 days ago? No wonder it's still fresh in heaven. It should be fresh to us. The precious blood we sing about. Oh, precious is thy flow. That makes me white as snow. Why is it precious? Because it never grows old. Never diminishes its power. It never loses its authority. Because it was the blood of the Lamb slain before the earth and before the world, the blood of Jesus Christ. So he rose from the dead on the third day, very early in the morning. Now she went very early in the morning. Was he there? No. I think she found a stone rolled away. He could have got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. He could have got up at 2 minutes after 12. I'd say he got up as quick as he could to fulfill the third, to make sure it was the third day. Do you see what I'm saying? If we're living in the third day, since Jesus died on the cross, what's going to happen to us? Well, the Bible says the same thing that it said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He said, be not ignorant of this one thing, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Be not ignorant, brethren, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And then you and I will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be called up together to meet the Lord in the air with his saints. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he said, comfort one another with these words. What words? The resurrection. That's where the comfort's at. I mean, I'm in a cemetery about four times a week on average. And every time I'm standing there, it's just like I'm thinking so strong sometimes that I'm feeling the earth move under my feet. And I think, oh, Lord, these graves are bursting open. They're going to rise first. You know, now I don't know how high they're going to get, but I'm going to be caught up with them. I think maybe when they come up, it'll turn loose on me too, and we'll go up together. Go in a cemetery sometime and just stand there and get to thinking about when Jesus comes and the resurrection. And I'll tell you what, if you don't feel the earth quiver under your feet, you might need to go somewhere and talk to him. I'm not kidding. You say, no, I'm just telling you. If you can, one woman one night, she heard a preacher preach on the second coming, and he preached with such power and with such strength, and she could almost see it happening, and she was going to go out the door, and she said, I'm going to go out and jump off the cliff and go on and be with him. He made it that beautiful. And the preacher grabbed her and said, no, you don't want to do that. Wait till your turn comes. The resurrection happened early in the morning. 2000, the flood came. Right on God's calendar. When Methuselah died, the first drop dropped. The second 2,000 years, what happened? The Bible says in the fullness of time that a virgin brought forth a son and called his name Jesus. So you got from Adam and Eve to the flood, 2,000. You got from the flood to Jesus, 4,000. You got from the time of Jesus till 20 years ago is the second 3. Now, where are we living now? We're living in the early part of the 7th. Year 7,000. Now take this 3 and go home and study 3 and 7 together. He's been talking about it in Daniel and Revelation. All 7's all over the Old Testament. It's all over the New Testament over 800 times. There's a reason for that. You say, yeah, but it's been 20 years into the 7th. Well, what did I just tell you? You know how long 20 years is on God's calendar? Let's see, about 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Figure that out. Well, the calendar we used, Jesus died in what, 4 AD? It's 4 years off. Is that not right? So if we're only 20 minutes into the final, you see, there's 1,000 years that Christ is going to reign on the earth. So you've got to bring in the 7 years of tribulation. Now, whether we go through part of it or whether we don't, that's not my call. The Bible tells me just to watch and be ready. And so if you take 7 years, what's that? Less than an hour? Think about it. There's a reason for Psalms 90 and 4 and a reason for 2 Peter 3:8. One day with the Lord as 1,000 years. If you got a loved one that's died and gone on, go home tonight and figure up how long they've been gone. My dad just been gone a little over an hour. I can handle that. You get talking about 40 years, that's a long time. But on God's calendar, you see, your soul and spirit lives in God's calendar. Your body's what lives on time. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so, when you get to thinking about it, put yourself on God's timetable. You see, we could all be out of here in the next hour. It could all come about tonight. Nothing has to happen. You say, now, wait a minute. There's one thing that bothered me that had to happen before Jesus come. That was all the world would hear the gospel. Now, 40 years ago when I started studying prophecy and numbers, I got to thinking, how's that going to happen? Well, did you know that there are preachers now on TV that are reaching the world? They advertise that the gospel is now all over the world. You say, yeah, but what kind of gospel are they preaching? Death, burial, and resurrection is the only gospel I know. No. The intricate details, I don't know. But they are telling people about Jesus. But are people listening and hearing? Well, I don't know. They're not in America. We're more concerned with what the news has to say than what God has to say. I got news for you. Them people have no idea. They have no idea of what's coming. The Bible says in the last days, he said, now they'll be hollering, peace, peace. And you know what the next phrase says? And sudden destruction will come and take them out of here. Peace, peace. Is that what everybody's crying? Yeah. Now we got to have peace at whatever cost. You know, whatever the cost. And the Bible says when they start crying that and get secure, sudden destruction will come. So I tell you tonight, watch and be ready. You say it's scary. Yeah, but it's exciting. It's scary, I agree. But it's exciting. Because guess what? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God in heaven, thank you tonight for the scattered thoughts. We thank you for your word. We wish and pray that we could understand it better. Lord, we know that soon and very soon you're going to split the sky and call your church home. Lord, we may go as one standing, or we may go as one that's risen from the dead. Father, the important thing is we know we're going because we've settled and put our trust in you no matter what happens. Our trust and our faith is in you. Be with us as we leave here tonight. And Lord, help us to leave with a desire to see you come after us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.